One of my favorite vacation spots is Lake Powell. My friend Doug and I were introduced to boating on the same trip back in 1994. Doug was attending a singles retreat at Powell, and I was one of the speakers for the event. There were a little over 40 people. We had two 40-foot houseboats, two speedboats for water skiers, and a couple Sea-Doo watercraft. If you've been to Powell before, then you already know what an amazing place it is. With more beach than the entire western seaboard of the United States, it's easy to find a secluded place where you can pray and meditate and feel close to God. I captained one of the houseboats and was sailing it toward a beach at the end of a narrow canyon where we intended to camp. Like some alien landscape, the red rock cliffs jutted high above the waterline and the sandy beach. As our boat slowly approached the shore, the beauty of the sun shining over the cliff's edge was striking. Doug walked to the helm and stood beside me. "How can anyone believe this all came about by chance?" he asked. How can anyone believe this all came about by chance? Yet, some people do believe the grandeur of Powell, or the Grand Canyon, of the mountains in my home state of Colorado, of a newborn's soft skin, and even love itself, is a product of random chance and eons of time. These people pride themselves on being faithless. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you're probably familiar with Hebrews chapter 11. The unknown author of this sermon-turned-book begins with a Webster-style definition, then offers us a simple illustration. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at Jesus' command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Throughout the rest of the chapter, we see practical application after practical application, stories of men and women who walked by faith. It's as inspiring, even more inspiring, than the turquoise water lapping against the shore of a white sandy beach at the base of a high red rock cliff capped by the hues of sunset. We all understand that faith is the element through which we are saved. I sometimes forget, however, that faith is an ongoing, active part of my relationship with God. I lose sight of the importance of faith. Why is faith so important? Here are a few reasons. In John chapter 3, verse 36, we learn, "You cannot be saved without faith." In Romans 5, verse 1, "You cannot have peace with God without faith." Romans chapter 14, verse 23, "Whatever is not from faith is sin." Galatians 2:16, "You are justified by faith." Ephesians 3:17, "Christ dwells in your heart by faith." Hebrews 11:6, the very chapter we're discussing, "You cannot please God without faith." James chapter 1, verse 6, "You cannot pray without faith." 1 John 5, verse 4, "You cannot live victoriously over the world without faith." And finally, Galatians 2, verse 20, "You are to walk, that is, live, by faith." In contrast to the faithless, we are to be faith walkers. Maybe another time I'll go into detail about the stories of the men and women of faith chronicled in Hebrews 11. For now, I urge you to read it on your own later today. You'll see that their faith stemmed from the simple practice of taking God at His word. In the long list of great men and women, we witness how these people lived their faith in different ways. There are different kinds of faith walkers. Which are you? I believe there are three kinds of Christians. The first group believes faith is like the force. It binds us together. And if you have enough of it, you will live a happy, content, if not successful, life. Group 2 says faith is born out of difficult circumstances. In other words, religious faith helps us get through hardship, suffering, and loss. Still others contend that difficult circumstances are born out of faith. Truly, a strong faith will conflict with the values of the world and will lead to suffering and hardship. When group 3 experiences hardship, those in the first group advise them to have more faith. Those in the second group tell them to lean on their faith. To those in the third group's way of thinking, faith is precisely what got them into this mess to begin with. In truth, faith is simply this: taking God at His word. What difference does it make to define faith properly? Because as Hebrews 11:6 points out, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The issue of our faith is not to be understood shallowly. Examine the three opinions about faith. Which of the three opinions defines your faith? Which of the three opinions do you think reflects the attitude of the great people of faith in this chapter? Is there a difference or a disparity? How can you change? There are as many ways to develop real faith as there are people on the planet. It all depends on what is keeping you from living in and out of real faith. Do you give up too easily when things get tough? Be determined in your faith. Does self-determination keep you from stretching beyond what you can do yourself? Surrender your pride. Are you distracted by the stuff of life? Focus on God and take Him at His word. Take your sin seriously and your ego lightheartedly. One truth is sure: real faith results in action. As St. James pointed out, faith without works is dead. Our lack of faith usually stems from a lack of living and acting on our faith. My first year at Colorado Christian University, I was required to take a class on marriage and family. The instructor was a man known to many, Dr. Jonathan Smith. Dr. Smith was a pastor, a professor, and the driving force behind Rocky Mountain Bible College and Seminary. At the end of one class, he was giving us an assignment. "Women," he said, "I want you to write me a paper. I want you to read Proverbs 31, the passage of the woman of noble character, and I want you to write a paper about what you would have to change to become a woman like that." All the guys in the class snickered and joked, one commenting it would take a complete overhaul of drastic and immense purport. No, it wasn't me. Why does everyone always think it was me? Okay, it could have been me. Regardless, Dr. Smith cut off our jeering. "Men, don't laugh," he admonished. "Men, I want you to write me a paper. I want you to read Proverbs 31, and I want you to write a paper on what you would have to change about yourself to attract a woman like that." Now it was the ladies' turn to laugh and joke. But you know, one thing I learned from the exercise is that women desire a man who lives and walks by faith. I took up the fruits of the Spirit as my standard for a faithful man of God, and what started as a paper turned into a project that lasted far beyond college. I began to journal, and for the first year, the journal simply recorded my efforts to develop love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I journaled daily, and I would encourage you that if you want to measure your faith, if you want to become a man or woman of faith, then you must be intentional about it. Maybe you don't journal. That's okay. But make sure there are daily reminders in your life. Presence. Make sure that when the pressure is on, you know you can trust God, that you can take Him at His word. Eventually, when difficult times come, your first response and your every inclination will be to respond in faith. I love action movies, particularly science fiction movies. One of my favorites is by M. Night Shyamalan. In the film Signs, he draws clear distinctions between those with faith and those without. Mel Gibson's character is a disillusioned former priest who states at a crucial moment in the movie,
experience something lucky, group number one sees it as more than luck, more than coincidence. They see it as a sign, evidence that there is someone up there watching out for them. Group number two sees it as just pure luck, a happy turn of chance. I'm sure the people in group number two are looking at those 14 lights in a very suspicious way. For them, this situation is a 50-50. Could be bad. Could be good. But deep down, they feel that whatever happens, they're on their own. And that fills them with fear. Yeah, there are those people. But there's a whole lot of people in the group number one. And they see those 14 lights. They're looking at a miracle. And deep down, they feel that whatever's going to happen, there'll be someone there to help them. And that fills them with hope. See, what you have to ask yourself is, what kind of person are you? Are you the kind that sees signs, sees miracles? Or do you believe that people just get lucky? Or look at the question this way. Is it possible that there are no coincidences?
It is true that difficult circumstances are born out of faith. It is also true that there are rewards for being a faith walker. One reward, as Gibson points out, is hope. Regardless of how much trouble we might be in with the people of this world, we have hope. While in prison for the last time, Paul writes to the church in Philippi a letter of great hope, wherein he says, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. There are other rewards as well, a closeness with God, a correct view of life and difficult circumstances, living victoriously over the world. The promises of faith are many. They are for us, and they are for everyday life. They're not just for the famous people of Scripture. We can be modern heroes of faith. We can be faith walkers.